Hey, before we get back to failing to answer your car questions, we need to talk about 2020. Boy, what a lousy year this has been, huh? We've been isolated from our friends and families. We have to put on a hazmat suit to go to buy Cheerios. And look, I'm talking to you not from a radio studio, but from my closet. Acoustics courtesy of my powder blue leisure suit and my extensive flannel shirt collection. But you know what made this year bearable? You and everyone else in the public radio community. We were isolated physically, but we're still together. In fact, I can almost smell Scott Simon's cologne as we speak. Seriously, despite the pandemic and everything else, Terry Gross has kept us company with fantastic interviews. Steve Inskeep has been here every morning to keep us thinking. My brother and I allow you to escape reality entirely for an hour a week. And I don't know how I would have gotten through this summer without all things Pacassandra. And now you know what's coming, right? Your station needs your help. Those underwriting checks from Rocco's Bolodrome haven't exactly been flying through the door like they were in 2019. Pandemic or not, your station still needs to pay reporters, producers, editors, and the electric bill, not to mention the dry cleaning. You don't think we're all going to broadcast from our closets with the smell of last week's Zupa de Beige all over everything. Your donation, whatever the amount, will make a difference. Please take a minute now and go to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. And here's to a healthier, more normal 2021.
Welcome to NPR's Car Talk with us, Click and Clack,
the
Tappet Brothers.
That was very good, man. I thought you weren't ready. But being the consummate...
Was it the snoring that fooled you?
Being the consummate professional that you are.
Well, we're broadcasting this week from the Center for Porcelain Miniature Proliferation here at Car Talk Plaza. You know, we do have the porcelain miniatures, but we have a new product.
This is... We're trying to make a few bucks. I mean, let's be honest.
This is the deal of a lifetime, and it's just in time for Christmas. Are you ready for
it
this?
It is.
Bogus Enterprises. Now, we really...
One of our subsidiaries.
We weren't directly involved with Bogus Enterprises until we read the whole prospectus.
But we are now. We loved it.
It sounded so good that we were in partnership with them.
It was sleazy enough to be somehow associated with the automotive industry.
Well,
yeah.
They have come out with... This is Bogus Enterprises has come out with the new talking Click and Clack Tappet Brothers dolls.
Yeah.
These dolls, they're the full 14 inches tall.
Yeah.
Each comes dressed in workshop coveralls with their names embroidered on them, a Mack truck baseball cap, and a pair of Texas Steel work boots. Mm-hmm. Also included is a free greasy rag for wiping your hands. Imagine your child's enjoyment at hearing free wrong advice on how to repair his Matchbox, Hot Wheels, or Tyco cliffhangers. Yeah. Just pull the string and they talk.
That's right.
Listen intently as Raymond says cute phrases like, "Oh, geez, isn't that near Bar Harbor?" "Oh, let me make the noise for you. Yee, 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 yee."
How do you spell yee, yee?
Y-I-Y-I-Y.
That's it. Yee, yee, yee.
Listen to Thomas put out phrases like, "Good question," or "That's unconscionable," or, of course, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Get either doll for only $25 or get both for $55. What a deal.
What a deal this is.
Mention that you know Doug Berman when you call for
your order.
It'll
be $65.
And you'll receive information for ordering the brothers' 1974 Chevy Caprice Classic convertible with a working trunk and removable raccoon nest.
Right.
Order early. We're down to about 4 million of these. So. Anyway, so you obviously
don't
can't talk.
That.
You have nothing better
Speaking
to do.
Speaking of Christmas, now that the Christmas season is officially here, this is a note from Steve Jarrett from somewhere, North Carolina. "I feel duty-bound to alert you to a potential Christmas travel hazard that I recently became aware of as a result of listening to your show." This is important. Boop, 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 boop. This is a hazard.
Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea.
You have spoken often and eloquently about how dangerous drivers named Donna can be. Imagine my horror when I recently realized that one of Santa's own reindeer is named Donna.
Anyway, if you'd like to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Gary in Austin.
What's up?
What's up?
Well, I've got a 1972 Mustang. I've had it since it was new. It has 339,000 miles on it.
Are these original miles?
Original miles, as you guys define them.
Have you rotated the tires on this? I'm just conducting a little survey.
I've rotated the tires religiously.
Every Sunday or every Saturday?
Every Sunday.
Sunday.
Now,
Christian.
This car has survived one wife and six girlfriends, but now the power steering is real noisy.
Oh, yeah, you get that.
And I've replaced the pump twice. And one mechanic said, well, it must have been a defective pump. We still got the noise. And he says, well, we're going to need to maybe tear into it and do a lot more work on it. What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah.
You've replaced the pump?
Twice.
And the noise hasn't changed?
No.
Really? You sure he's not just painting the old one?
No, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's what the mechanic said. I had two mechanics. The first guy said, well, we've done two pumps. We need to tear into it. Then I moved back to Texas, my home. And my regular mechanic says, well, it's got to be the pump. That's the only thing that can make the noise.
And he's right.
Uh-huh.
When they put the new pumps in, did it make absolutely no change to anything? Is that what you said?
Right. It didn't make any change. In fact, the mechanic said, well, the pump must be defective. So we took it back and got another one, and we had the same problem.
Good. Excellent. Perfect.
Yeah, that's what we would have done, too. But they haven't taken it to the next step.
Yeah.
No, we're trying to decide whether to spend the money or not, or just put up with the noise. It does scare girls, though.
It does?
Yeah, well.
Oh, my brother does that.
That's why you went through six girlfriends. You just told us that. I mean, you drive along and they start hearing, rawr, rawr, rawr. Who can know what they're thinking?
The first thing I would do is remove the high-pressure hose that runs from the pump to the steering box.
Okay.
I would do that and see if that hose is restricted somehow.
Okay.
Blow through it.
Yeah, you might want to just replace it.
Uh-huh.
After all, if you've gone to the bother of taking it off,
you might as well just put a new one on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, for $20 or $30, you can buy a new hose, probably.
I'll bet you that fixes it. And I guess that's what he meant by we'll have to tear into it.
Uh-huh.
I guess I don't know what that means.
Well, you know what tearing into it implies? Lots of money.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So, I mean, it may be in the steering box, but I would take it one step at a time. Take that hose off. Take the other hose off, too, the return hose.
Okay.
Maybe it's constricted somehow.
Okay.
So somewhere you have a problem in the hoses, I think. I'd be surprised if it were the steering box. The steering works okay, even though it's noisy?
Yeah.
Make the noise for us.
That's exactly it.
Sounds like an electric shaver in distress.
You'll never get a girlfriend this way, Gary.
I'd fix this immediately.
Yeah, I think it's the high-pressure hose.
Okay.
Thanks for your
good
call.
Luck.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Evelyn from Georgia.
Whereabouts in Georgia? You're just kind of at large?
At large.
At large.
Well, when I tell you my story, you'll see why I was at large.
Okay.
Actually, I'm in Athens.
Athens.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes, that's in Greece. We know.
Yes, that's right. I like to leave the Georgia part off.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to share with you this really frightful experience I had in my Volvo one weekend, and then I'm going to kind of pose to you a what-if question.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it was Sunday about a month ago, and I was determined to
Was
drive.
It a dark and stormy night?
Yes.
Huh?
But it was day.
I love it.
And I was determined to drive to these apple orchards so I could get these fresh apples to make pies for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I do that a lot.
Yeah, I bet. There were all these tornado warnings for my county and surrounding counties,
mm-hmm.
but not in the mountains, so I figured we'd be safe. So I threw my son in the car, and we headed north to the mountains.
Head first?
Let her finish the story.
Well, with him, that's what you have to do.
I get it.
Well, the weather kept getting worse, and it turned out that this storm system was really following us. I'm sort of a daredevil, and I love to drive, so we kept climbing
along. Is that like Georgian for wacko?
For wacko?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daredevil, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My brother is one of them, too.
Well, we kept climbing along these cliff-hanging roads. And the wind was really strong, and it was raining. And so finally, there was this huge spark. I mean, this giant spark landed in the middle of the road, about 20 feet in front of us.
A wire.
I was mortified. I mean, I'd never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
And I'd been listening to my son. He was complaining the whole time.
How old is this son? Like 25, 30?
No.
Oh.
I don't sound that old.
No, you don't.
He's 11 months or something.
No, he's 2.5.
He's 10.
Ten
months, okay. 10 years
Gee,
old.
You don't sound that old.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I'm pretty young.
Yeah, you are.
Anyway, he had been complaining. He's like, this is stupid, Mom. You know, we're going up here to just get apples. And yeah. And then I was completely guilty. I mean, I felt horrible because, like, we were almost struck by lightning.
It's so easy to make a mother feel guilty, isn't it?
So
this was a bolt of lightning that struck the pavement just ahead of you.
Yeah.
Is there a point to this story, Evelyn?
The point is that...
Yes.
I didn't know why, and I didn't want the lightning to strike us, obviously.
Yeah, that's exactly what was occurring to me. Why would the lightning strike the ground in front of you
exactly. When
you are a perfectly wonderful target?
I know.
And probably four feet.
You know why?
Four
the ground
feet...
was there first.
feet higher.
So close, and I didn't understand it, and I was wondering what would have happened, and what should we have done? I mean, I know you don't touch metal, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, the reason you weren't struck by lightning is in order for lightning to strike, there must be a buildup of a charge, okay, and then there must be a discharge.
Yeah, but that's all happening up in the cloud.
No, some of it's happening down on the ground.
Down it comes.
No.
Bolts of lightning originate on the earth and go up?
No, but...
I never heard that before. I thought they were up there and they came down.
No, but there must be something that happens. There is some charge.
I see a theory forming before eyes.
As a matter of fact, they will tell you, scientists will tell you, meteorologists will tell you that if you are to be struck by lightning, the first thing you'll feel is you'll feel tingly.
Sure.
Right?
But that's because it's on the way down. Get Carl Sagan on the phone.
He's
the world's foremost
authority.
Long before
it hits you, you will feel that.
Yeah, and
I don't feel tingly?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell me it had something to do with the color of my car.
And that's because the opposite charge is starting to build up on you, and then...
Yes, but why would it have built up on the ground in front of
Because the ground was there, and she was not there.
Oh, because she was headed
she
to
was
it.
She was moving.
And you mean to tell...
If she weren't there, the lightning would have hit the same spot. Had she driven a little faster, you could have been struck by the lightning only because it was going to hit that spot on the ground.
It had already decided that that's the spot it was going to hit.
Yeah, sure.
And...
Have you ever heard of predestination of lightning?
What a yahoo.
This is the most harebrained theory of lightning I think I have ever heard.
It's true. As harebrained as it sounds, it's true.
I want verification of this. And
wait, what about the second part of my question? What would have happened if it had hit me?
Oh, you would have died!
No, probably not much, actually.
Okay.
I have heard of situations where cars have been struck by lightning. The occupants have not really been hurt very much. Because what happened?
All being fried.
Of course, these people had fried brains before they started. But what happens is it goes around the car, and you're inside the car.
Okay.
And it doesn't jump through the roof to you because it's got no place really to go by that route.
Uh-huh.
And so it goes around the body of the car and down to the ground.
You would have been two crispy critters if that lightning ever hit your car, Evelyn.
Okay, Evelyn, I'm sure you...
First of all, there's
Did you interrupt me?
No. Yeah, you had nothing important to say anyway.
I did.
Moot point. The lightning didn't hit you.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Okay.
We will read you the right answer as soon as someone writes to us with
it. Yes, because we don't really know the right answer, and we've been exposed for the frauds that we really are. So
you have stumped the chumps, and you will get a free copy of nothing.
Okay.
But thanks for calling, Evelyn.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
This is a great question, actually.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi there.
Hi.
This is Barbara from Mount Gretna, Pennsylvania.
Mount Gretna.
No, not Gretna, just Gretna.
Gretna.
Right.
Like Etna with a G. Like Gretna?
Well, like a G-R.
Like Grape Nuts.
Like Grape Nuts.
Like Mount Grape Nuts,
Pennsylvania.
Anyway, Barbara, what's up?
Well, this is the problem. I have a 1986 Ford 250 Super Cab pickup truck.
Yeah.
And I drove it 1 mile downhill without oil. Now, my question is, I know the damage I did to my husband. How much damage did I do to the car?
Has your husband been crying ever since?
He's been very quiet.
Oh, they can't take
a really?
Joke.
Oh, really? Kind of catatonic?
Well, he's quiet to start with.
Yeah, but and this put him into a real catatonic state, huh?
Well, he caught me. At least he knew exactly where I was going. I was going to pick up a Sunday paper at the store.
Now, when you say you had no oil.
It had no oil. I backed right over the oil pan.
Oh, jeez, Barbara.
Really no oil.
So you drove over a boulder or something that gashed the oil pan open.
And then you rolled down the hill for a mile.
No, he had drained the oil.
Oh, and the oil pan was sitting there on the ground?
That's where.
Let me paint the picture.
Did he chase you all the way down the hill saying, Barbara, stop?
No, he knew I was at a little country store picking up the Sunday papers.
Right.
He called.
He said, tell...
And I offered to drive it back, but he said, no!
Well, explain to us what the peculiar circumstances were that allowed him to drain out the oil. I know, never mind.
He just takes care of it.
Yeah, he drained out the oil, and then he didn't finish the job because he had some other urgent business to attend
to. That's right.
I guess so.
Yes.
I know. I've had that happen to me.
You have?
A few times.
And you, unbeknownst to you, you just jumped in the truck and drove away. Sure, it can happen. It's called an accident. It's an accident.
Indeed. So you drove a mile, but you didn't have the thing under great load. Was it exactly a mile?
It was precisely a mile.
And you were pretty much coasting because it's what? Downhill. Yeah, and you subsequently put oil into it?
Oh, definitely.
What did he do? Come down the hill with the oil pan under his arm? I can see this whole thing unfolding. And he can't take a joke at all, huh, Bob?
It was a bit of a startling episode for him. But we have another vehicle, and I decided to walk up the hill. It was raining, and I had an umbrella, and I encountered him at the driveway with his 6 quarts of oil, rags, and a gunny sack to get under the vehicle.
And a hanky, because he was crying. Huh?
See, I mean, the truth is, we got a funny situation here, because the truth is, you probably hardly did any damage that would ever show up in anybody's lifetime.
Oh, good.
But. The trouble is, he's never going to believe that. Nothing will convince him. No, everything that happens to this truck from now on.
He's going
to
be
your
fault.
You get a flat tire two years from now, he's going to somehow relate it to the... Remember that day, Bob, when you drove down the hill without the oil? Anything that someone crashes into you, he'll find scrapes and dents. Bob, remember that day... So you will be blamed forever, and I predict this is the end of your marriage.
Guilty as charged. I never thought of that.
Yeah, he's gonna hold it against you forever. Try to get a reason to sell the truck.
Okay.
Gee, I just realized, sometimes you listen to someone's voice. We listen to a lot of voices on the radio.
Yeah.
And most voices come and go without notice.
But Barbara's familiar.
Voice is familiar.
You know why?
Yeah.
Because she is really Carl Sagan in disguise.
No, Barbara sounds like Marge Simpson.
Do you?
Kidding.
Yeah. Isn't that a lugubrious thought? Can you say Homer? Anyway, Barbara, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Don't worry. Don't worry about your truck or your husband. He'll snap out of it one of these days. Strong coffee usually helps.
Yeah, and tell him to sell the truck because we don't want this to become a wedge between you.
Okay.
Right. And enjoy your winter there in Grape Nuts, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right, and say hi to Bart and Lisa, and what's the other one?
So long, Marge.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
All right, I know you don't remember last week's puzzle, so I'm going to give you some keywords.
All right, here we go again.
Driving.
Pleasure.
Very good. Exit.
Ramp.
Urgent.
Haircut. Hey, this works.
You got it,
man. So what
do
we got? Pleasure, ramp. Haircut.
This was the Haircut and Horsetown Puzzler.
Hey, it was!
And I'll have the answer in just a minute.
Well, my baby drove up in a brand new Cadillac. My baby drove up in a brand new Cadillac. She said, hey, come here, daddy. I ain't never coming back.
And even though the NPR staff electrician quintuples the voltage in our seat warmers whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
This message comes from Car Talk and NPR sponsor BetterHelp, a truly affordable online counseling service. Fill out a questionnaire online and get matched with a licensed counselor best suited to your mental health needs. Whether it's depression, anxiety, or trauma, BetterHelp will help you overcome what stands in the way of your happiness. Learn more at BetterHelp.com and get 10% off your first month with promo code CARTALK. BetterHelp. Get help anytime, anywhere.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from the American Jewish World Service, working together for more than 30 years to build a more just and equitable world. Learn more at ajws.org.
Ecologist Daniel Stryker studies how bats spread disease.
The way that people get bitten is literally as horrifying as it sounds.
The scientific side stories that helped us make sense of 2020. That's on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about, of course, what? Cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
Yeah.
Here it is in a nutshell. This fella's driving across the desert from Salt Lake City to Janet, Reno, Nevada. And somewhere in the middle, he finds himself in urgent need of a haircut.
Yeah.
He's driving. Only happens to look in the rearview mirror, and he goes, yikes! So he gets off at exit 321, which is between Winnemucca and Elko. He just pulls right off,
yeah.
And he finds himself
in Horsetown.
In beautiful downtown Horsetown, Nevada, where there are, of course, two barbershops.
Wow, you wouldn't think.
You wouldn't think. You know, unfortunately, it's Wednesday, and the barbershop is closed. So he has to hang around. Why are barbershops closed on Wednesday?
They are? Not anymore.
It sure are. Hairdressers,
you know,
are.
You know
hairdressers
why?
And stylists.
Right, but barbershops.
Because they're playing golf with the doctors.
With the doctors who are also out on Wednesday.
Yeah, what are they? Blood letters. They're all blood letters. Anyway, he strolls past barbershop number one and looks in the window. There are no customers in the shop. It's kind of messy. And even the barber, who's the only one in the place, looks kind of messy too. Mm. He's unshaven. He's got a rumpled shirt on. There's hair on the floor. And even his haircut is lousy. The guy says,
my kind of place.
Maybe I should check out the other joint. So he moseys along and arrives at barbershop number two and looks in that window. Looks terrific. It's nice and clean. The mirrors are clean and shiny. There's no hair in the floor. And even the barber looks neat and well-groomed, and he's got the good haircut.
Yeah.
The question is, based on the information you have, which barbershop does he go to?
Wait a minute. Which barber is named Mario?
They're both named Mario.
Oh, they're both. Yeah. Oh, geez, that was going to be my criteria.
And why does he go to the first barbershop, the one that was messy and disgusting and, you know, lousy haircut?
Yeah.
Well, he goes there because it's clear that each barber gives the other one his haircut.
I mean, they're not going to drive to Janet, Reno.
Absolutely not. It's 300 exits. You're staying put, man. If you live in One Horse, you're staying put. So the guy that has the great haircut,
getting it from the other guy.
He's getting it from the slob, the guy with the rumpled shirt and the hair on the floor, and that's the barber that he wants to go to get his hair cut. And who's our winner this week? Tommy.
The winner is Michael Hall from Toledo, Ohio. And for having his correct answer chosen at random this week, Michael gets a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, with which he can get one of our CDs, like Men Are From GM, Women Are From Ford, Lawyers Are From Chrysler. There are lots of ways to squander your $25, Michael.
Yes,
sir. That's it. But I have a thing here. This will qualify. This is a brilliant thing. This will qualify as reading mail. This is from Doug Redding, and I don't know where Doug is from. I have a suggestion on how you can solve the world economic crisis by increasing the number of puzzlers. And here's how it works.
Got it. I got it already.
You have more puzzlers, and you have more winners. You give away $25 gift certificates
to more people,
to the winners. But, and here's the key, you make sure that nothing in the Shameless Commerce Division sells for exactly $25.
There you go.
You allow winners to contribute unused portions of their gift certificates to the Click and Clack Solve the World's Economic Crisis Fund.
Right, a.k.a. retirement fund.
If we assume that you only gave away one gift certificate each week and that the winners spend on average $23, you could contribute $104 a year to solving this problem. If we also assume that we need to save up to $100 billion to solve this problem, it would take roughly a billion years to save up enough money. However, if you started having two puzzlers a week, this guy's thinking, man, you could save the world in 500 million years.
No hurry.
That's 500 million years sooner than with only one puzzler per week. Wow.
He did. He did come up with a great idea.
I mean, actually, we have made sure that nothing sells for exactly $25. And we were hoping that people would just buy something else. You're saying, gee, I got $7 credit here.
Right.
I might as well spend it.
Because I know I'll never get the $7
nothing,
back from them.
I'll never get the $7 back. And so instead of spending the $7, they'll spend $12. So we'll get $5 more. But if they contributed to the Click and Clack Solve the World's Problems Fund.
Yeah. I think it should be contributed to the Click and Clack World Tour Fund. How's that sound?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds good. Anyway, we'll have a new puzzle.
How many Amtrak tickets can you buy with $104?
Too many. We'll have a new puzzle coming up later in today's show. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. Ed Wardle here, Lexington, Kentucky.
Hey, Ed. What's shaking, baby?
Lexington, Kentucky. Yes.
I have a lovely daughter who's a starving college student who has an 87 Honda with a somewhat of a mysterious problem.
Yeah.
Intermittently, a light shows up on her dashboard.
That says PGM. No.
F-I.
There you go.
Yeah. And since, you know, she watches X-Files all the time, she thinks this is some kind of message from outer space.
And it is.
And she's been to a couple of shops and asked them what it means and what to do about it. And she's gotten two extremes. One of them said, well, obviously this is a fuel injector warning light, and you better change them all now or else your car is going to fall to pieces.
Ooh.
And the other one said, yeah, it's a fuel injector warning light, but you don't need to do anything until something happens because her car runs fine, even though it's only got 115,000 miles on it.
Mm-hmm.
What's it mean and what should she do?
It means change the program on the fuel injector. PGM is program and FI is fuel injector. So that's it.
So under the passenger seat on this car is the computer. And the computer has flashing lights on it. And no, I'm serious. And if she ever sees the flashing lights, she'll definitely be convinced she's part of
an
X-File episode.
Yeah.
But the flashing lights will reveal the trouble codes that have been stored in the computer. And you need someone that knows a little bit more about it than these two guys that she's talked to.
Okay.
It's the equivalent of the check engine light on every other car.
Okay.
So what it's telling you is that the computer has detected a fault somewhere and has stored it in its memory.
Mm-hmm.
And that fault can be extracted by reading the flashing lights that the computer has. And then you can go and look up in the book what it tells you is wrong, and it'll tell you tests for testing these various things.
Wait, can you also get an audible signal? Does it go, ba 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 ba?
And she's building big piles of material in her living room. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, not on the 87. The 89's enough for the audible. But she needs to take it maybe to the Honda dealer. It's probably nothing too serious, considering that the car runs all right. But I would guess with 100,000+ miles on it that she needs an O2 sensor.
Okay. So the question is, if she lets it go, because it only comes on intermittently, if she lets it go, is it going to ruin something?
Well, if the oxygen sensor, for example, is bad, it's going to confuse the computer is going to send the wrong signal to the injectors as far as the pulse that the injectors get, and it could ultimately ruin the catalytic converter. But is it likely to? Not right away.
Uh-huh.
Someday, if she's driving the car, if she happens to be passing a Honda dealer and the light comes on at the same time,
pull in,
and she sees Agent Scully, at the same time, she should pull in and ask him to check it for codes.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
See you, Ed.
Okay, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Time to set another customer's car on fire to heat the garage.
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we track down a caller from a previous show to see if he or she is still on speaking terms with us.
Or only communicating through lawyers. So who's our lucky contestant this week?
This week's contestant is Bob from Gig Harbor, Washington.
Ah.
Actually, Bob was on our show just a few weeks ago, and just after he ran into a little sartorial trouble.
I got a Sable.
Yeah.
It sucked a sock down the intake manifold.
Whoa.
I was working on it, and I was replacing an injector, so I had the part of the manifold off. I put a sock in there so I wouldn't drop anything into the
And then you forgot it was there, put it together, started it up.
and I got about a mile. I got to the freeway, and when I punched it down, it died a very violent death.
Sure it did.
Jeez.
Boy, oh boy.
What did you married?
Well, for now.
For now.
It's her car, actually.
Oh, that's even better.
Well, with any luck, Bob's wife would be too busy with him to come after us for ruining her car.
Us? Bob was the knucklehead who left a sock in the intake manifold. We're in the clear on this.
I'm not so sure. We were the ones who told him to just start it up and let it run and see what happened, remember?
Oh, we did tell him that, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And we predicted that if he was lucky, and if he had led a good, clean life, his wife's car would just burn up the sock, and after a few minutes, it would start to run just perfectly.
Or it would seize, he'd wreck the engine and the marriage all at once.
All right, let's bring him on. Bob, are you there?
Hello.
You are there.
Bob.
Here.
And, you're speaking to us.
Yes.
Did you have any trouble finding a new place to live?
Well, I could tow my car somewhere and live in it.
Uh-oh.
No.
Car. All right, before you give us the whole sad story, we have to make sure that the other seven listeners know that my brother and I have had no prior knowledge of your answer that you're about to give us here on Stump the Chumps. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, by now it's probably pretty clear to Bob that you and I have no prior knowledge of anything, really.
All right. Did you actually just start it up and let it run?
I put it together and started it up and let it run.
And?
Well, at start it ran terrible, and I had to restart it several times. And after a couple minutes, it started running better.
Yay!
Until when?
Wait a minute.
Oh, no. We've probably put 500 miles on the car now and seems to be running better than ever.
Better than ever.
Maybe we've got a new additive.
Yes.
Technique.
Exactly.
Add some sock. You know how they say add some punch to your driving.
Right, put a tiger in your
put
tank.
Put a tiger in
put
your
a
tank.
Put a sock in
put
your
a
manifold.
Sock in your manifold.
I love it.
So, yeah. Wow. So this engine ingested an entire sock.
I was surprised. I have emissions testing coming up in about 2 months.
Oh, I see if you can bribe somebody on that one.
You're low on your hydrocarbons, but you're a little high on your cotton. The cotton output.
Right, your polyester's a little high, too. Well, Bob, I can't tell you how happy I am for the three of us.
Wow.
I'm happy, too.
So you've learned this lesson. You would have learned the lesson no better had you ruined the engine.
Sure.
That's true. I will never do this again.
You'll never do
That's
this
right.
again. You've
you
learned
suffered
the lesson.
The trauma.
You've suffered everything, and it's now that the lesson is embedded in your brain, but you didn't have the misfortune of wrecking the engine.
Yeah.
Which would have done no better job of embedding it in your brain than your wife would have done with a 2x4.
I mean, I remember standing in a puddle of oil once because I was pouring it in the top, and it was pouring out the bottom because I forgot to put the drain plug back in. Boy, 5 quarts of oil makes a big, big puddle.
It's like the size of Lake Erie.
Lake Erie.
Isn't it?
Especially when there's 5 people standing around laughing at you.
Oh, yeah. It gets bigger by the second.
Well, Bob, I'm very happy for you. I really am. Good luck, man.
Hey, thanks a lot.
And thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
See you, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
If you should happen to hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestions from cartalk.com.
Or you can call and probably stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Sheila in St. Louis.
Hi, Sheila.
Sheila.
Right.
What's up, Sheila?
Well, I had one of my license plates stolen, just one, because the other one had bolts that were so rusted and threads that were so stripped they couldn't get that one off.
Yeah.
And so I had to get new license plates, and of course, and I'd want to know how to put them on so that they won't get stolen again, and also the front thing that the plate is attached to is also really rusted. So I'm afraid that if I screw something onto them, the whole thing's going to fall off.
Uh-huh.
Well, you can buy at either your dealership. I don't know what kind of a car you have, but
Honda.
You can go to the Honda dealer and buy a new license plate holder.
And I would do that if the one you have is all rusty. And then you can put the license plates on. This is going to be tough because you can make it, if you're going to make it impenetrable so that no one can steal them, you're probably going to make it so you can't get them off when you have to get new ones. No, well, what happens in Missouri?
We put stickers on them every year.
So they last forever.
Right.
Well, you can put them on with self-locking nuts, for example, and the nuts can't come off. Or you can put a little stuff called Loctite on the nuts, which someone could get off if he really tried.
You could use, and I've never quite figured this out.
Super glue.
No, you could use the bolts they use on the swinging doors in toilets. Now, why anyone would ever want to steal? You go into a public restroom, and there are these screws which you need a special device to remove.
And
they're one-way screws.
They're gone.
Now, why anyone would want to steal a swinging door off a toilet? I don't know.
Or maybe someone just didn't know how to open it and had to get out. And he figured it was easier to take the screws out.
But there are screws available to the trades.
I mean,
which cannot be removed once installed.
Well, what about those of us not in those trades?
Well, then as my brother said, you can bugger up the hexagon of the bolt and make it round so that once it's on there, no one can get it off. But Loctite is good enough. And the chances of your plate being stolen again, I mean, the chances of it being stolen the first time are one in a million.
Hmm.
Right? Yeah. And it's one in a million now, too. It didn't change.
So no way of electrifying that whole thing, huh?
Sheila, you have a mean streak, huh, Sheila? But I would use Loctite or some such thing like that, which is a chemical you can buy at an auto parts store, which when you put the nut and bolt together makes them very difficult to get off. But rest assured, someone with the right tools will get the thing off.
Do they have special kinds of like nuts and bolts at the auto parts store?
Not the kind I mentioned, with not the ones that come in to pay toilets. You know, those are unique.
Yeah,
and like I said, I've never seen anyone walk out of one of those bathrooms
with a door.
So I don't know what they use those for. What are you doing today? We're going to steal some toilet doors.
Well, maybe there's a black market for them. How do we know?
There may be.
Sheila, good luck to you, and thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's time for us to take another short break.
What break? Why do you always want to take a break?
Well, for one thing, your hair's on fire. And I thought I'd go get the extinguisher and put it out.
Ah! All right. We'll be back in a minute.
New used car, Chevrolet, rivet gun, primer gray. Turn it over, listen hard.
And even though elephants try really hard to forget whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Kay Buxbaum in support of the David Gilkey and Zabiula Tamana Memorial Fund, established to strengthen NPR's commitment to training and protecting journalists in high-risk environments.
Hey, it's me again. Just a reminder that if you haven't pledged yet to your local station, now is a great time to do it. Why? Because you're listening to Car Talk, so we know you won't miss anything important. And your station is counting on you, and they're literally waiting to hear from you. You can pledge online right now by going to donate.npr.org/cartalk. That's donate.npr.org/cartalk. Thanks. Ha!
What?
We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yes. I'm looking forward to I might say.
I have at my disposal.
In your disposal?
No. Well, most of them are in. But I have at my disposal a plethora of potentially putrid
Puzzlers.
I'm going to use, and I've been tempted to use a few automotive ones because I know people really detest the automotive ones. And that cuts way down on the mail. But I'm going to use this one, which I have stolen. Well, that's such an ugly word. I have excerpted from Martin Gardner with a little twist. I've added a twist to it.
Interesting.
Here it is. This is for all the kiddies out there and for their parents who like to help them with their homework.
Was this from one of Martin Gardner's books, or was it from Scientific
American?
No,
it was written on his underwear. Yes, it was from one of his many, many books. Get your pencil.
I've got it. A pencil.
Pick out a three-digit number, any three-digit number, like...
I just did.
789-27...
I can understand a three-digit number concept.
Now, repeat those three digits. So if you pick 271, you got 271-271.
Yeah. So I write it next to the three-digit number?
Well, yeah.
I got it.
271, 271.
How'd you know it was 271, by the way? Okay, I got it.
Could be any three-digit number.
It is any three-digit number.
All right. Now, I want you to divide that number.
This big number.
By seven.
I've got it.
Okay.
Okay, that's...
All right. Okay, that's good. Now, if you have that quotient.
Yeah.
If you have a remainder, put it off to the side. Like, remainder is 1, 2, Z, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Put it off to the side.
Yeah.
Take the quotient that you got and divide that by 11.
11? Oh, God.
Another prime number. And whatever remainder you have, put that off to the side, too.
Got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, divide that remaining quotient, the quotient you just got.
By 17.
By 13.
13, I see.
Another
that.
Prime number. Okay, now take that number.
Wait a minute, I'm not finished yet.
Come on, what is this, third grade?
Yeah.
Okay, now take the number that you got and the quotients and the remainders that you had from the previous divisions, add them all together.
Add what together?
Add the remainders and the last quotient that you got.
The last one, yeah.
The last quotient and the remainders.
Got it.
And you're going to wind up with the original number.
What do you mean the original number?
What, the 271 that you started with?
I did not.
You screwed it up.
Oh, no. I did. I ended up with the original number. I did end up with the original number, which was, I'll tell you now that it's no secret anymore.
271.
No, close. 247.
247, very good.
Which had no remainders because everything was evenly divisible.
Sonia Henny's tutu.
Imagine that.
So the question is, why does this work?
Wow.
Okay, so
if
you
take any three-digit number.
Repeat those three digits. So you had 247.
So I got 247.
Divide by 7.
Divide by 11.
And then put the whatever remainder there is. If there is one, you put it aside. Divide by 11. If there's a remainder, put that aside. And by 13, if there's a remainder, you put that aside. Add up the remainders and add them to the last quotient that you got. And you're going to wind up with your original number. And I want to know, very simply, why does this work? If you think you know the answer, write that answer on the back of a $20 bill, those nice new ones.
Well, there's lots of room on the back.
Lots of room. And mail that answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238. Or you can do an electronic funds transfer and email. Email your answer on a $20 bill to us from cartalk.com.
Wow.
If you'd like to converse with us at this very moment, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Melody, and I'm calling from Las Cruces, New Mexico.
Melody, what's up?
Well, the problem is I haven't been a Las Cruces resident for very long. And on the way out here, we developed car trouble.
Out here from where?
Connecticut.
Maryland. So close.
Close enough.
Maryland. Yeah.
Okay.
What happened is 3 weeks ago we got our 1983 Ford Ranger tuned up and we had all the belts replaced because it seemed like a prudent thing to do.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Then about 2.5 weeks ago we left. And 400 miles into our trip, actually we were listening to Car Talk, I think, on the radio.
Brought you right into West Virginia?
No, we're in Bristol, Western Virginia, but not West Virginia.
Oh.
But that was close.
Yeah, we're close. Maybe we'll be this close with the answer.
There you go.
Okay.
Anyway, 400 miles into the trip, we developed this really nasty noise in the truck. And I can make it.
Yeah.
My husband and I practiced last night.
Are you going to do it in harmony?
No, we weren't that good. But it sort of went, is that good
noise? And it did that for how long?
Well, it still does it.
Oh, it does it constantly?
Sort of. You can't hear it at high, when the engine really gets revving up, you can't hear it. And I don't know if that's because it disappears or it just gets lost in the rest of the engine noise. Yeah. And we took it to a garage here to have it looked at.
Yeah.
And they listened to it through this funny-looking stethoscope kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that underneath that noise was the noise of our water pump going bad. So they replaced the water pump, and they said that when they took out the water pump, the water was all brown. Like chocolate milk.
Okay.
And they said that the noise that we're hearing is somewhere in the engine block, and they didn't do that kind of repair. So the bottom line question is, since they don't do this repair, it sort of sounds like it was going to be a big item thing.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, do we get rid of the truck or do we pay to have it repaired?
Well, this is a V6 engine, I'm going to guess.
I doubt it. It's a real wimpy truck.
Yeah, no, it's a V6.
Okay.
Well, some of them had a 4.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This one could have been a 4. It probably would.
No, I don't think so. I think they're all V6s. Anyway, I'm going to tell you what the noise is.
Okay.
The noise is a worn rocker arm assembly.
Uh-huh.
And these are kind of famous for that. And I bet you the noise, if they listen, is coming out of one of the valve covers.
A worn rocket block?
Yeah, a worn Atlas rocket. A worn rocker arm assembly.
Yeah. If you take it someplace that does do repairs on things other than water pumps,
okay,
tell them to listen under the valve cover.
Okay.
In fact, better than that, they can even take the valve cover off, and
they'll see this.
At the risk of having some oil shoot all over the place, they can actually run the thing, and they can hear it going, as those rockers are being rocked back and forth by the action of the push rods against them. What's happening is that rocker is digging into the shaft, because it probably hasn't gotten proper lubrication. But I think these were a problem with these.
This is a problem. This will get much worse. But just to tell you, I mean, my brother-in-law has this very same vehicle. And his started making this noise, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And he drove it like that for these past 4 years. Only recently did he throw out the engine and put another one in.
Which is what will happen to yours if you don't fix it.
Okay.
Pretty soon the valves will stop opening, which is what's going to happen to Tom's brother-in-law's.
Yeah, no, he already junked it.
And it'll stop running. That's why he junked it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what you need. Have someone take the valve covers off.
Or bring the valve covers off. Whatever.
And that's going to fix it.
Okay.
But you should fix it, because all those pieces of metal that are being chewed up and spit out are winding up circulating around with your lubricant. And I don't think you really want that to happen unless you're looking for a new vehicle.
Okay. Is it a big ticket thing? Is it under $500?
Under 500.
Under.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how much, but by the time they get you for the rockers, the two shafts, they give you one shaft,
and they put one in the tax truck.
And the gratuities and the boat payments, it's going to be about $500.
Okay, would this problem, could this be intermittent? Because it doesn't always do it.
Aw, come on.
I'm sorry. I wrote all these things.
This happens to us all the time.
We come up with an elegant solution. I mean, this is a classic problem with Rangers. And now, except it isn't an intermittent noise. It's got to be there all the time.
Wait a minute.
It didn't do it at all.
Just tell me one thing. I just want to know one thing.
Yeah.
Did you hear anything?
What?
I knew it. Her hearing is going bad, and she only hears it sometimes. Okay. That's it. It's the rocker.
It could be there. It could be intermittent, but it's the times that it isn't there are going to get smaller, less and less often.
Fewer and fewer.
That's it. Fewer and fewer. Fewer and farther between.
Okay.
Mother.
Or further.
Yeah. You know what to do? Take it to a Ford dealer.
Okay.
Novel idea. See you, Melody.
They'd be the best ones to do this.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Hey, good
Thank
luck.
Thank you.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello. You're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Mark from Hancock, New York.
Hancock, New York.
In the foothills of the Catskills. And I am an organic farmer in the foothills of the Catskills.
That's good. What do you grow?
Anything that goes in a salad. Lettuce. Lots of lettuce, and I pay my car bills with lots of lettuce.
Yeah.
Very
and you,
good.
And you must have a question about your manure spreader, because we know you use a lot of that.
Yes, I do, but I don't have a question about my manure spreader. I have a question about my 1982 Suburban with a 250,000 miles on it that I am entirely dependent on trucking my vegetables to New York City in, and it's got a problem.
We'll fix it.
Okay. Well, I don't think you will, but you'll help me.
We'll fix anything.
All right. Well, we'll
Except
see what kind
of... a broken heart.
We have a problem with the body. My mechanic says that because my drivetrain is intact and I've replaced everything in the car except the body and the drivetrain, that I should look for a Suburban with a shot drivetrain but a good body and do a full body transplant.
My sister-in-law's been trying to do that with her husband for quite a while.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not bad.
Have you done that before?
I don't think you're going to find one.
But there's a lot of years to choose from.
Well, I mean...
There was 1982. I think 1982, they didn't change the body for a long time.
You got 20 years to choose from, probably.
So this is not a bad idea yet.
Oh, no, it's not a bad idea.
Oh, it stinks.
Oh, no, it's good, except you're not going to find one.
Even if you were to find one, would you want to spend the money to extract the drivetrain from that vehicle and then, a month later, have your transmission conk out?
Well, I wouldn't want that, but I don't want to touch my drivetrain. I want to leave my drivetrain alone and throw the body away.
Well, yeah. What's so sacrosanct about your drivetrain? First of all, you're operating on luck at this point.
A wing and a prayer.
A wing and a prayer. I mean, the fact that
and
it hasn't broken down is a miracle.
I've gone 200 times round trip to New York without fail.
Well, I mean, also, I mean, if you think about it, if I had a Suburban that was in great shape, except it needed an engine, would I just take it to the junkyard and throw it away? No, because I would go and I would spend $1,000 or whatever it is, and I would throw an engine in it.
I guess I'm looking for the Suburban that lost its transmission and its differential.
Yeah, that's why I said you're never going to find one. You want one that's got no engine, no transmission, and no differential.
Well, alternatively, I mean, it may sound wacko, but you might be able to fix the frame on yours.
Well, I asked my mechanic if he thought I could do it because he's done the welding on it before.
Oh.
And he said,
no.
It might be $5,000 later. He seems to think it's entirely shot.
I think the thing to do is you go to a junkyard and you get the closest thing you can. You try to find a Suburban that has one of those three components, no good.
But you can't buy it from Hancock, New York junkyards because it's going to be as rusted as yours.
Yeah.
This is going to call for a vacation to Florida.
So this might be a good idea if I was lucky enough to find the body, but I probably won't find the body.
Well, you don't have to do it yourself. I mean, you can go to your buddies at the local junkyard/auto recycling center and tell them what you're looking for.
Oh, that's a great idea.
And they will put it out on the network.
Cool.
Junkyards have a network.
Yeah, they send up smoke signals. The grease they burn, they send up signals.
The tires that are still on fire. Yeah. And somebody will answer saying, I've got such and such and I want $2,000 for it. Someone else will say, mine is in better shape, blah, 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 blah. And then you can just go around on the train and look at the three or four that sound good to you. I think it's worth a shot.
Well, look, when do you start your seedlings?
My wife starts the seedlings in March. I don't have to get to work until April.
All right. So you've
got 5 months.
You've got at least three months after the holidays.
Yeah.
You've got three full months.
Right.
To go down south. I'd go for Mardi Gras and the whole bit. I mean, you might as well have some fun, right?
I can see Mark now saying, hun, I am going in quest. I'm going on the quest for the body of a Suburban.
You're telling me that you grow...
lettuce.
Organic lettuce.
Mostly lettuce.
And you subsist on driving a Suburban-sized vehicle from your farm to New York City periodically.
I go down every Tuesday for 26 weeks from the first week in June to Thanksgiving.
Okay, so for once a week driving to New York with a truck full of lettuce.
1,000 pounds.
1,000 pounds
of lettuce. I repeat, a truck full of lettuce. You manage to make a living on that.
I do.
What are you bringing back when you come?
Cuban cigars.
Cuban cigars.
I knew it. He makes nothing on the lettuce. Hey, Mark, best of luck to you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. I appreciate your
advice. Send us a postcard from Mardi Gras, will you?
Most definitely.
See you. Bye now. He's making the reservation now, I can tell.
He's got nothing to do.
I mean, why not, right?
From Thanksgiving to April.
Yeah, that's a tough racket, huh?
He's living the dream.
Well, you've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor.
Okay, wait, I'm going to hardly wait.
Just back from the Yukon, chiffon, wonton, bon, udon, saffron, Szechuan, fried prawn, and filet mignon, munchathon is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Novera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley.
Our loss prevention associate is Natasha the Merchandise. Our staff bicycle tester is Maya Sertz. Our anger management counselor, oh no. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our directors of quality control are Les Thomas and Nomar Raymond. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is you, Louis Dewey, known to the other holiday party crashers in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember, don't drive like my brother.
And remember, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You can get a podcast of this show, subscribe to our weekly podcast, and check out our guaranteed to be re-gifted clothing and best of collections all over at cartalk.com. This week featuring a great way to ring out the old and ring in the new.
Did NPR finally cancel us?
No, not yet. I'm talking to people who have a used vehicle that they no longer need.
Ring out the old car.
Right. If you donate a used car before the end of the year, not only will the proceeds benefit your favorite radio station, but you'll also get a tax deduction for this year.
Yeah, offset some of those illegal gambling receipts. Oops, did I say that with my outside voice?
Get all the details of the Car Talk vehicle donation program anytime at our website, cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Ebenezer Scrooge mumbles, "Someone needs a little attitude adjustment," whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.